Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have a very important guest. Gina Rione is here.
What? Hello, everyone. Hello.
So Gina's kind of a big deal. Definitely a big deal. You've been doing comedy for a while, Manhattan-based, and you've hit almost every stage. You've got a shit ton of credits. You are a badass in the community, and that's hard to get there. That's a lot of work, especially as a female, not to do that thing, but it is hard to get past all the groping and
I'm the person who usually does the groping, so I don't know anything about it, so but I'd like to hear to sensitize me a little bit more, ladies.
The groping is definitely a thing. It's a thing. It's literally.
It really is, because I'm joking, but okay.
No, I know you're joking. I know you're joking. If you weren't, I'd probably be a little concerned. If you weren't joking, I'd be a little worried about it. But yeah, there's a lot of groping, and you make it past a lot of groping, and I think you just become someone who takes no shit. Just somebody who really learns how to stand up for themselves and learns how to set, you know, just draw the line. You know, I just had somebody hit me up a few days ago, a comic hit me up, and she asked my advice on a situation where she's a newer comic, and this booker, even nowadays it's happening with COVID, with not a lot of spots available. This booker had told her that he really liked her stuff, wanted to give her more spots, and then his behavior got progressively more inappropriate. And I told her the same thing I would tell anybody, you know, dignity over spots. You don't need spots that bad. Another stage will come, like, don't worry about it. Don't. And if he's done it to you, he's done it to other people, so everybody will understand. If you air it out, you know, put people on blast. It works.
I thought when you were talking before that you were about, you know, you said you become a person who really doesn't take any shit. And I thought you were going to say, like, you become a person who's just, like, used to getting groped. I'm glad that it went the other direction and you guys stood up for yourselves. I'm proud of you guys.
You know what? There are a couple people that are like, I'm just going to get groped today. I'm just, that's going to happen. I'm going to get groped. What am I going to do? You know who gets away with it? Old people. Like, if a 90-year-old gropes you, you're kind of like,
aw.
Not over here, babies, okay? Because I won't mention names because I don't want to get sued in 2021. But there was a comedy club with a successful, powerful old person attached to it who
I'll murder them.
And he groped me, and I laughed.
Like a wheelchair old person? Or like how old?
He was still walking.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah. But no, it really does make you tough. Like right now I'm in the Philly suburbs, and when some girls get catty here, I want to be like, sweeties, I have lived through Manhattan comedy and I thrived through it. Like your bullshit does not scare me. You have no idea what we've been through. I've been barking on Manhattan streets trying to get someone into a free comedy show and then getting heckled by those drunk people dressed as Santa Claus on SantaCon. You know what I mean? Like, you do, like, this little petty girl shit does not scare me. You have no idea.
You guys don't understand. I've been through the fire. Yeah. Been through the fire. So, will I fight you? Yes. Do I feel I should? Probably not.
I feel like I'd just be the guy who got groped. Like, I just, you know, like, for, you know, that's how I got successful. Like, I let it happen. I'd be one of those. So, like, when I meet people who stand up for themselves like that, like, I'm proud to be here with you guys today. I'm not going to lie.
If you would just get groped and get ahead. I mean, however you got to do it. However you got to do it, boo-boo.
Like, I'm not that skilled. So, like, I'd have to, you know, some people have to take a different path for that reason. But, like, I'd make it. Like, I would make it. My eyes would be on the prize.
Your eyes would be on the prize and their hands would be everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's a grosser way of trying to rise to the top. But sure, everyone has their way. I liked following my heart. I got into a fight with the comic once. He came on my podcast and I was saying, you need to follow your heart. You know, don't cave in to that energy. And he was like, no, play the game. What are you, fucking stupid? We got into a huge fight. Now I look back and I'm like, I should have just let him go on. But like, I felt the need to fight it and be like, follow your heart. Like, it got real heated.
I'm going to need a list of names from you of people that I need to murder. So far, we've got one guy that groped you.
And he's already dead. He's already dead
because I murdered him. Now, you didn't know, but I know. I murdered him. I murdered him. That's what happened. I murdered him because I found out he disrespected you and he had to go. Now, this other comic, I'm going to need a name because he's next on the list because I have a feeling I know who it is. I have a feeling.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to save it. We'll have to save it because, yeah, I'll tell you at the end, but it's a random one. And I really still like this person's soul. So it like shook me, but whatever.
Wait, what did they grow? I feel like that matters. What parts did they grow?
Oh, the people who groped me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The 80-year-old who did the touching, he did it to my stomach. He liked it. But then I met someone outside of comedy in the entertainment world who's pretty famous. He groped my face.
That's
hot. Like, just
thought a face could get groped.
Believe it.
Palmed it down slowly, almost like an ownership dominance. Like, he's a very famous person. I was like, hi, can I get a picture with you? And he looked down, he looked at me like, oh, she's cute. And then wanted to overpower me immediately. Like, he probably felt my confidence and wanted to kill it somehow. But I was stoked on that one, though. Yeah, it was like...
Okay, that's another name I need. That's another name I need.
The gropey face, Tom? Okay, I'll tell you. No, after we're done
recording... Wait. Are you sure he wasn't, like, blind? Because there's this one movie with, like... Oh, I forget who's in it. That lady with blonde hair, Marissa. Oh, anyway. But Val Kilmer's blind in the movie, and he romantically strokes her face so he can see her with his fingers. And it really touched my heart. And so I feel like maybe it was Val Kilmer, and maybe it was like at the red carpet event for that movie.
Maybe not.
I'm spitballing here, but maybe not.
Yeah, was a person with great vision. He was just creepy as hell. And he does lectures, too, on, like, spirituality as well as acting and stuff. And whenever I watch it, I'm just like, you have to embody it. You can spout ancient wisdom, but if it's not embodied, snore. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I met a celebrity on the red carpet once. We'll talk later as to who it was. And immediately, I felt like my soul had been groped. I was like, sir, you have not touched me, and I feel gross. Like, I feel disgusting. Your eyeballs are groping me.
Oh.
It's like the creepiest thing in the world. And whatever, you know, celebrities get to be creepy, too. I mean, it's not exclusively for the poor. They can be just as creepy.
Well, yeah, the ones who abuse their power. Like, I was at the Lantern one time doing a show, and a celebrity came to check out a show. He was friends with one of the comics, and he was in the back, and I knew who he was. I was excited he was there. I went towards the back. All my friends were around him, and I was like, hey, how are you? And he goes, get on the table and dance for me.
No, he didn't. No.
And my friends didn't know what to do, because it was like comics, we know, and they were like, things got real still for a second. They were like, is Kate going to bite a person's nose off right now? Like, what? And I think I just got my stuff and left. I was like, you guys can have fun hanging out with that kind of a person.
Isn't that a compliment though? Kind of like he's a famous dude, and he the first thing that pops into his head is like, "I want to see you dance." Like I'm just saying, like, no, it's a dirtbag move. We're all in agreement, but like at the same time, that was the first thing that popped into his head. So you got to be like, "I look kind of cute."
Hold on, Kate. I speak white man. Hold on, Kate. I speak white man. Let me handle this situation really quickly. Like, I know it seems like a good idea to ask a female to dance on a table. I know it seems like it is a compliment, but it is in fact not a compliment to ask someone to basically be your own personal stripper and dancer. Because once you start dancing, what do you think is next? Like, it just gets worse and worse from there. But it's so funny because I know that that's the devil's advocate card my husband would have played too. Like, well, it's kind of flattering that a celebrity wanted you to dance for them. I was like, nope. Still incredibly creepy. Still incredibly weird.
When you say it like that, I'm embarrassed, okay? I get it now.
Just, you know, something's creepy.
I'm such a caveman.
If it was done by a poor person and you'd be upset, you know it's creepy. You're just like, if a poor person asked me to do this, I would be upset. Which person that's asking me to do this? And I'm a little on the fence, but it's still upsetting.
Yeah.
Name as well. I need a list of names from you.
You know what? If CJ and I are ever having problems or in a fight, I'm just going to have to FaceTime you in real quick and be like, I'm going to need Gina to explain why this is happening.
Now, hold on. The other day, Kate was trying to explain to me why she's allowed to pop off. She says, hey, my friend Gina pops off all the time. She's Puerto Rican. And I said, hold on. Just because you know a Puerto Rican girl who pops off doesn't mean that you go all white girl popping off. It's like a style.
It's not about that. No. What I said is I pop off to keep myself alive. I'm talking about vent. It's popping off. It's venting. Venting's like a different way of describing it, but I do pop off and I rightfully pop off. He's bringing this up because I scare him sometimes, Gina.
Well, the thing is, you're an Aries and so am I. And so if anybody understands, so you should understand popping off. If you're an Aries, you should understand. Sometimes you hit that button, you can't. The button is always there.
You talked about it in your stand up. Like you just wake up in the morning, like you ready, you gonna fight. Like you getting in a fight. Like that's that was funny as shit. I was dying when you said that because I know plenty of people are like that. You know, just wake up and just, it's going to be a fight. It's going down.
Yeah, but this is the thing that I was trying to explain to him is that there are healthy rants and then there's unhealthy popping off. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, I'm white, but like, I don't mean to sound this anti-white, but like, I don't think I'm the typical white person either. Like, I don't. Like, I have more soul than maybe the typical white person. Once again, I'm not trying to be anti-white person, but like I'm saying on the whole, like I know how to fucking get down. Like I know how to channel my soul and my soul song and my inner dance. And sometimes fire's coming through me, rightfully so, because coming through the Manhattan comedy scene and getting backstabbed by a bunch of different people makes me want to pop off. I was trying to explain to him. And then just other different injustices hurt me. And if I just try to be this polite little, like, always, like, then it would fester in me. Sometimes I just need to, like, pop off for a second, rant, express myself, but I'm not actually mean or scary. The scary ones are the Stepford Wives hoes who were like, everything's okay. Blessed be. Like the ones who are going to stab you in the middle of the night.
Girl, you took the words right out of my mouth. Those hoes kill families. Like, understand, they act like everything is fine, and then when the pop bubble over, she set the whole house on fire. Like, y'all be worried about the girls like that. Girls like me and Kate, girls that pop off, girls that get angry, it's cool. We get it out of our system. 10 minutes later, we are peace, love, and everything else. Just let us do our screaming and yelling and table flipping and throat punching and kicking and occasional stabbing, and we'll be fine. All it takes. Just let us pop off, and you're going to be good.
And everyone can take a moment to pray for those individuals who've ever pissed off me and Gina Brion, because we're the wrong girls to fuck with.
Yep. I'm just saying, I seem really nice, don't I? Don't I seem nice?
I seem real nice, don't I?
Just stay on that good side.
I'm gonna try. Oh shit.
I love how scary you can be too. Well, those are my favorite people, and I've explained this to CG. The people who have the beautiful hearts and souls, but then they're okay with their shadows. You know, they've claimed that not just fire, but like the darkness that we all have within, every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I like badasses with heart, you know, and Gina, she's one of those, and she's been one of my faves for a while. So
you're definitely one of my faves, and I'm honored to be one of yours. I just love people that get it. Like, whenever I talk to people, I remember my former manager would always ask, she'd be like, I don't know what your Achilles heel is. Like, and I would go, my temper. And she just would ignore it. And I'd be like, it's my temper. I have a really bad temper. Please do not make me mad. I get very, very mad, uncontrollably mad, and then I'm fine, but half the world has been destroyed. But it's fine, but I get it out of my system, and it's okay. It's like just a little tiny rage monster, and then once the rage is out, I'm just like a cuddly little... I'm like, why is everybody so mad? Who's crying? What happened? I have no idea what went on. Why is everybody not in a great mood? I'm in a great mood. I feel good right now. There's so many people I want to punch in the face, but out of kindness, I don't.
Gina, are you... You're a New Yorker?
Yes.
So, are you like one of them that like yells at like one of the people on the sidewalk, like yelling at taxi drivers, or like, you know, yelling at the neighbor across the street, or like one of those? Or
yes and no. I will tell you, I'm not the kind of person that's going to yell at a cab driver unless they did something real stupid and I happen to be driving. But I will yell at people if I see you do something wrong, like especially to one of my, like, it was so funny, I was on the subway with one of my girlfriends and this older guy like passed by, and from what I saw, he like brushed her and just like walked past, like, and he was like this like creepy, like super funky, dirty looking older dude, and he brushed her, and I literally, she ignored it. And I was the one that was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I was the one that went all alpha male.
Yeah, yeah.
And he turned around and I was like, you want to go? Like, I was really, like, so furious. I was like, don't touch my friend. And I was like,
yes.
Out of nowhere. Like, we were fine. I wasn't mad about anything. But it was like, he just did it. And it was so rude. And we were on the subway. And that's dangerous. And I was just so angry that he thought he could get away with it because he was an older guy. And I just lost it. Like, I lost my mind. I was so angry about stuff like that. Like, I'm an immediate defender of people who are being treated badly. I can't stand it.
Me too. By the way, I'm going to take out my, it's going to be shittier video quality because the one I'm using is like making my fan go off. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. Can you guys see me again? You can still see me now. Okay.
There you are.
Yeah, my fan was going nuts, and I don't want it to interfere with audio. So, yeah. CG gets to talk to you because sometimes, and now I've never started a fight on the subway like that. But one time when I lived in Jersey City, I was walking home, and it was like a 7-8 minute walk from the path to my place, and sometimes you felt unsafe. Like, sometimes dudes were purposely getting in your space to make you feel unsafe. So these two dudes, they like slowly pulled up to me as I was walking, and one of them was like, "Hey, pretty," or "beautiful," you know, one of those. "Hey, beautiful, I like your dress." And I was like, "Oh, do you want to borrow it and I can watch while your friend fucks you in the ass?" And like, it just came out. Like, it's not even something that, you know, and I was like, "Oh, hey." Like, but then I was like, "Oh shit, like I could get murdered if I don't like quickly."
No, you froze. They're like, "Quick stabber." You froze. Is that me or you?
Oh, wait,
okay, you froze. But you're not freezing anymore.
I'm back?
Yes, you're back. You're both back. You're both frozen for a second. Uh-oh. I hear my son.
You can always include him on the podcast if you need to, if you want to.
He's a little impatient. I have tried before. Sometimes he's good and he'll just chill. But then, like, when my attention's not on him, he'll start to, like, gets whiny, and he starts to kick his feet, and he's like, "I want mommy's attention."
Gina, is it too forward to ask, do you breastfeed?
Is that actually no, not at all, not at all. I think people need to stop being afraid of that question, honestly. I have chosen to breastfeed. It is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It is so difficult. It's stressful. I'm constantly pumping or him to keep my breast milk supply, which is not a high supply either. Like, I think a lot of people don't explain to you what it's like to breastfeed, and they don't really walk you through it. You just automatically start. And then the lactation specialist at the hospital was like, "Yeah, you're doing everything right." And I was kind of like, "Okay, yeah, but this really hurts. This really hurts, like, really bad." And then I had a different lactation expert come in, and she showed me how to do it correctly, because I wasn't doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. And that made a world of difference. But still, my milk supply has been low. I did everything. I spent hundreds of dollars on lactation stuff, teas, drops, snacks. Everything. I have 4 pumps. Like, I did everything because I was so paranoid and stressed out about milk production, because I had a girlfriend who was literally having to freeze bags of milk because she was making so much milk. And I was so jealous of these women that make so much milk just naturally, because for me, it's such a struggle to, and I don't know what it is about my body. I did everything possible that I could to up my milk supply, and nothing seemed to work.
Because I was more wondering if you were just one of those who does it just like out chilling at the subway, or like wherever you're at on a park bench.
Honestly, I would.
That's what I wanted to know.
Honestly, I would. Like, I don't. The thing is, after a while, and I'm sure Kate, you know, after a while as a mom, like, I'm learning this, you just don't give a fuck. It's like, I have to feed my kid. So if you're uncomfortable with me feeding my kid, avert your fucking eyes, bro.
Feed
my child. And this is more important than you and your weird boobie phobia.
Yes.
Or they're not scared of the boob. Maybe they just can't look away from it.
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
it's like
a little creepy.
It makes a lot of people feel awkward when you're breastfeeding. And I'm like, why does this make you feel awkward? You're either sexualizing it, or you're somehow have some sort of weird feelings about it, where it's like, this is not a sexual thing. Like, trust me, there is nothing pleasurable about breastfeeding. 100%, it sucks. Literally.
Yeah.
It's just the freaking hardest, most stressful thing in the world. So there's nothing sexy about it to someone who's actually breastfeeding, because of how much work it takes to do it. But yeah, I mean it has been like National Geographic up in this apartment. I have had titties on titties. It is titties everywhere. I could care less. People have to send me a text message if they're bringing someone over, like, "Yo, was your titties out?" Because my titties be out in these streets.
Totally went from laughing.
Holy shit. Sorry, I knocked my whole system down. Okay, we're good.
If I ever get to
She said National Geographic up in her apartment. That's fucking great. It's great.
You lost. If I ever get to breast, if I have another one, I'm definitely going to learn how to make breast milk cheese. Like, I have a joke about that. Why not, right?
Hold up. Whose sandwich is you putting that on?
Yours.
Not mine.
Yours.
You won't even know, bro. You won't even know.
Oh my God. Grilled ham and breast milk cheese? And you won't even tell me? Just like I made dinner. You gonna eat it? You gonna take a bite?
He's never going to trust a slice of cheese again. From this point on, he is gonna be suspect of every bit of cheese that enters his life.
Hey, hold on. Where'd you get this? You got that at the deli? I'm gonna ask Marvin.
I wouldn't really sneak it in, but like I
but think that's a real thing people do is make breast milk cheese.
Not a lot of people. Like, I'm sure some people are like, to make cheese, you have to like pasteurize it. Making cheese is a real thing. Yeah. It's a real
job.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be really good for you. Like, breast milk is supposed to be one of the best things for you. It ups your immune system. It literally is, can be used as moisturizer. Like, it's unbelievable. But nobody tells you this because, you know, God forbid you actually know, you know, what your body can do on its own and how you can help yourself and save yourself and keep your immune system clear. Is my internet still working? Or the powers that be have not cut it off yet? Since I'm talking bad shit. The NSA worker that's on my computer is okay with everything I just said?
I guess if you just make like feta cheese, like you only need a little. A little goes a long way. You know what I mean? Just sprinkle on a salad or something or on a pita. So I guess you don't need that much if you do it the right way. A little bit of Parmesan. If you make Parmesan, you only need fucking powder. You know what I'm saying? So like, I guess maybe I'm in. I don't know, dude. Let me try it.
Wow, that was a quick turnaround.
I mean, that. If like maybe you put it on my vegetables, like, because I don't love vegetables, but I might love them with some cheese. Like, let's find out.
Oh man,
I'm gonna do it then, because I wanted to.
If any of the listeners want to mail us some, that would be fantastic. I mean, especially if it was like. Especially if it was just like grated Parmesan. I feel like that doesn't go bad. Like, you can could just keep that on the shelf. So like, if you just mail me a little bit of that, we'll just have pasta night and see how it goes.
Okay, can I just real quick? I don't know what it is. Cause my husband, he said something similar and I almost ripped his head off. No, I did. We were talking about like my breast milk production, and this is something that like it's just so funny because y'all been amaze me. We were talking about it and my husband was like, isn't there a thing where you can get breast milk from another woman? And I was like, you want me to feed another woman's breast milk to my son? Did you hear the words that just came out of your mouth? You want me to go to another woman that did not carry this child and get her breast milk? Doesn't bother me if anybody else does it. Not at all. No judgment here. I could not feed another woman's breast milk to. I don't know what this hoe is eating. I have no idea what this hoe has in her diet. I have no idea what I'm putting in my baby's body because I do not know this woman. I'm just getting random milk from someplace. I was like, no, I will battle it out and try to do that. And he's like, if you got any breast milk cheese, like, you don't trust any kind of breast milk cheese that just comes in the mail?
I mean, listen, I'm willing to explore is all I'm saying, and I don't know where else I'm going to get. So I'm going to ask a listener, please, if you're out there, breast milk cheese, I don't care what kind it is, I prefer Swiss.
And not even, I'm just getting on a jealous thing, even though, you know, you can drink, so I'm not jealous of the cow, but Gina, if I make breast milk cheese, you gave me a great idea. Maybe I should do meth for the first time right before and make some meth breast milk cheese.
I'm just saying, you got a business plan. We could do this. We could do this.
Meth breast milk cheese?
I will have weed breast milk cheese. You could have meth breast milk cheese.
Oh, I
like breast milk cheese.
Breast milk cheese.
Well, your cheese would already be weed breast milk cheese. It's just without you doing any changes. No, just kidding, Kate.
I mean, no, that's true. It's true.
Without altering anything, I'd get high on your breast milk cheese. So yeah, I wouldn't have to change a goddamn thing. I was like, what is in this?
I mean, I feel like we have a really good business idea here, guys.
A- as long as we can make it cool to eat some fucking breast milk cheese, this shit's gonna pop off.
You know how many hippies would be down? I guarantee you. We could find some new age hippie people that would be like, do you guys have breast milk for my latte? I only drink breast milk.
Yeah.
I'm about to become that.
And then the price, the price is sky high after that. Dude, I'm in. Like, I can't make it. But, I'm proud of you guys. You know, I'll be right there. I'll be right there alongside you.
We appreciate the support. We appreciate the support.
I got you, dude.
He's a sweetheart. He's very romantic, too. Yeah, he's very supportive. And
I can tell that because he wants to eat your breast cheese.
He wants to eat my breast milk cheese.
Or just whoever's. But yes, but I do appreciate you for more than just that.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Angel. Thank
you. I know. It was sweet. I know.
And hold on real quick before I forget this. I have to shout out one of my longtime listeners. He's from, I'm sorry if I mispronounce this. He's from the island of Dominica. So shout out to Delbert. Thank you so much for listening. He asked me if I would, and I was like, hell yeah, I will. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Delbert sent a picture. Yeah, Delbert sent a picture of like him.
Send it. It's on his Facebook. I'll post it with the thing.
Got you.
Cover picture. He didn't send it.
It was like him and his badass friends at graduation. It was an awesome picture. Delbert's kind of big deal. That's all I got to say. Yeah, I haven't been on the podcast for 6 years, but he's been listening for 6 years. We got people down in Dominican Republic. That's what I'm fucking talking about.
Yeah. What's up, Dominican Republic? What's up, Quisqueya? What is up?
Woo!
Y'all think I don't have Dominican friends?
Another thing I want to say is today I saw for the first time a profile picture. It was on TikTok of just someone's foot. I felt a little bit groped, to be honest.
Yeah.
I felt like I was forced to look at a raw foot, which like when you know what I'm saying, like I was like, I don't know what person makes a their profile picture, and I feel bad saying this because they just followed me, so I'm probably losing that follower, but I couldn't. I was like, yo, you shut a foot.
Shout out to that person. don't listen to Kate. Shout out.
I am not I'm only a fan of my son's feet. I'm obsessed with them. They're the cutest little things I've ever seen in my life. Other than that, grown-up feet are pretty disturbing whenever I've seen them. Like, I've never seen an adult and been like, I'm okay with what's going on right now. Anytime an adult foot, I've been like, why are we taking our shoes off? What is going on? Why isn't this foot closed? I don't know what's going on right now. I feel very uncomfortable. What if there's glass? There's a lot of questions. I have so many questions for a bare foot.
I think my bare feet are kind of cute, but I'm not trying to make it a profile picture.
No, because you're
baby feet. Baby feet are fantastic. Feet are one of the coolest things in the world.
They fit in my hand. My son's foot fits. Like, both of them fit right here. It's the cutest. How can you not like baby feet? Like, you're a weirdo if you don't like baby feet.
Yeah, you are. You're a psychopath if you don't like them, yes.
They're adorable. They're the cutest little thing. And that's the only time feet are cute. Once he gets even, like, a year old, I'm going to be so old with feet. I'm going to be like, I'm dumb. Your dumb little stinky, sweaty feet.
Yeah.
Cute when you were an infant. Now you don't feet. And they smell disgusting.
Yeah, I feel like women's feet are okay. Some women's feet, because like you got a whole like industry to take care of women's feet and shit. But you know, a man's foot should never be exposed. They got hair on them, and they're just like they're not to be seen.
Pedicures are genderless. You can get a pedicure.
I guess in New York City they are. Yeah, maybe I should start. I don't know.
It is weird. It's weird to get a guy to go. Like, I had to talk my husband into going to get a pedicure because he had talons, bro. And I was like, sir, my life is in danger. You're gonna slit. I need you So please, for the love of God, let them take a jackhammer to one of your toes to beat that nail. No, it was ridiculous. It was insane. And so he went to get a pedicure, and he actually enjoyed it. He was like, it wasn't my favorite thing, but it was pretty enjoyable. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of nice when you get a little foot rub. I have really ticklish feet, so I very rarely go get a pedicure because I always end up giggling through half of it when they're like scraping my foot or like giving me a foot massage. I always feel very awkward because I'm so ticklish. So I get why a lot of people don't like. I'm weird about people touching my feet, even for a pedicure. I'm still weird about it, but it does feel super nice. Like, ooh, that nice leg massage. Oof. If it wasn't COVID right now.
No, yeah, I never got one. I'm real ticklish too. I don't think I can fuck with it.
It depends. Yeah, you kind of. It is really hard.
Like I'm ticklish like a little girl. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big dude, but I'm ticklish like a little schoolgirl. So, just so you guys know that about me.
Well, that's a vulnerability that I now know. Prepare to be tickled.
Oh shit!
Prepare to be tickled with me.
No, like, I used to get tickled until, like, you know, like I'd be crying, laughing, and then, like, it's crying. It's, like, it's too much. Like, I can't do it anymore. My body won't do it anymore. Now I'm just full crying, being tickled. That's how ticklish I am.
Hi, Gina.
The trauma.
Like, I feel like in suburban white neighborhoods, like, they think that's okay to, like, tickle the shit out of the kid until the kid, like, is seriously traumatized.
Okay, Kate, I have a question for you. I have a question for Kate being a mom, because this is something that I think about all the time, is how I'm going to teach my son the ideas of consent, starting with making it okay, you know, for me to ask permission to kiss and hug him. And if he says no, then I have to respect that. That's hard for me because all I want to do is kiss and hug my son. But if I'm going to teach him to respect others, I think that that is something that I have to be aware of, is that if I say, can I have a kiss? And he says no, I have to respect that no. I can't just be like one of these moms. Because, you know, I've seen moms be like, oh, what do you mean? Come here, give me a kiss, like right now. And I'm like, wow, way to teach them that no doesn't actually mean no. Like, way to teach them that. They have no respect for their, oh, so their no means nothing. But if that little boy goes and does that to a little girl, then you tell him that her no means something. So it's like you're sending these confusing signals to these kids. Mm. So me being aware of the fact that, like, if I do want to kiss and hug my son, I have to ask permission and then respect his answer.
Yeah.
And did you have to go through that with your son? And what was that like?
I did. And I still am, even as he's a teenager. I really don't want to be forceful. I want to respect his boundaries. And part of my wounding, as CG knows, is sometimes I want to subconsciously infiltrate boundaries. It's not what I really want deep down. I want to feel safe and I want people around me to feel safe. So I think what you're doing is beautiful. And I've tried that with Shane. I think I've gotten better through my healing journey with him too, of like, he is a separate individual. He's not my property. You know, a lot of parents treat their kids like their property, and that's not the case. And I think parents who respect their kids' boundaries and their dreams and just listen to them are going to raise really healthy, unenmeshed, boundary children, and that's what we need. So I think it's beautiful that you're thinking about that and doing that, because I see so many videos of parents doing that with their kids and their pets, where it looks like the kid wants to get away or the pet's trying to escape, and I'm like, they post it like, look at me and my cute pet, and the dog looks like it wants to kill itself, you know, and I'm like, oh,
get the fuck off me.
Yeah.
And you'll see that look in a kid's face, and it always kind of made me uncomfortable when parents would, like, oh, give me a kiss, and just grab their kid and, like, just kiss them up. And I get it, you're the kid's parent, but, like, I would feel terrible to know that that's the lesson that I'm teaching this kid at a young age, that if somebody wants something, they can just take it from you, you know?
Yeah.
And it little things like that, like, cross. I don't even like it when, like, I remember when my son was first born, and we were going through all the stuff that we got. We found, like, my husband, I think, had bought him, like a little Mets outfit because he's like a fan of the Mets. And that always irked me when like people would put their favorite teams on their kids and they'd be like, oh, he's a Falcons fan. Is he? Is he? How many games has he been to? None. None.
Does he really give a shit?
No, you're a Falcons fan, and so you want him to wear that terrible shit so that you feel like you got a little mini me next to you. Like, and I get the desire, and yes, it's adorable, but it's like one of those things where it really got under my skin. I'm like, do you see me putting him in comedy t-shirts? No, no, and I could get them, but I don't have them. That was just a PSA for everybody.
I agree.
Well, like you get abused too if you wear like a sports shirt like that. Usually, I found that out. I'm like not a big sports fan, and I had like a few different shirts I thought were cool from Bloomingdale's, like a Boston Red Sox shirt, like a New York Mets shirt. I had a few different ones, like I just wear out occasionally. And sometimes people fuck with you if you're wearing sports shirts. I didn't know I was putting a target on me. Like I'm just chilling, bro. I thought it looked cool. It's light blue, you know. Like I thought, but. Yeah, people get crazy on that. So if you put it on your kid, it's kind of put a target on them too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little sketchy.
Yeah, that that's a good point that I never even thought of. Just like putting it on the kid, it makes them a target for that kind of bullying or whatever. Like, because it's true, people get crazy about sports. I absolutely hate it. Like, I had this whole conversation with my husband about he's such a big Michael Jordan fan. And I get it. There's celebrities. I'm going to go back to this point later, but there's a book that I want to reference in just 1 minute about this specific topic. But when we were talking about Michael Jordan, he's like, oh, he was just such a big part of my childhood. And I was like, was he? Did he come to a lot of birthday parties? No, you were part of his career. He was not a part of your childhood. You were part of his career. You watched him and you bought a ticket. You put money in his pocket. Congratulations. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I hate when people are like, they were just such a big part of my childhood. Really? I don't think so. But, and here's the book I want to reference is by Mark Manson. I believe the guy who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He wrote another book called We're All Fucked, A Book on Hope, a book about hope. And he discusses the different gods that we all serve or the different things that we all serve, you know, and the first being parents, our family. We do everything to like appease them, to please them, to make them feel good. The second being idols. Like, you know, I'm a huge Mariah Carey fan, but I'm not in her fan club, but I'm a huge Mariah Carey fan. I don't care how batshit crazy she is. I love her to pieces. And I think she's amazing, but I don't idolize her in the way that I've seen certain people react to their celebrities. Like, you know, I'm not one of those people that if Mariah did get like, when she had a breakdown, everybody was like, are you okay? I was like, I mean, I'm emotionally trying to deal with this as well, but I feel like, I think Mariah's on her own on this one, you know? The third one is like God. Like you serve a religion. Most of us will serve a religion and then we'll serve like a person, whether it's a family member, maybe our family, or it may be someone you marry or someone you date. And then those were the three. The celebrities were the last one. Sorry, I have like coffee and water going on in my system right now.
Nice.
Because I'm exhausted, so. I was choking.
Oh.
Thanks for still doing the podcast, even though you're in, like, exhausted mom mode.
Definitely. You're amazing. You're awesome to have on here, Gina. I'm really enjoying this.
I love doing this, honestly. I think, and I just live in a state of exhaustion. Like, it's just, it was like that before I had a kid, and now that I have a kid, it's just, you know, I was used to the exhaustion. I wasn't used to the crippling anxiety that comes with being a mother.
Aww.
Because it's beautiful. Being a mom is beautiful and wonderful. And it has changed my life in so many ways. It has changed my view of women in general and what powerhouses we are. And that's for anybody who identifies as a woman. You are a powerhouse. And it just blows my mind the things that women can get done. And like, but it's also nerve-wracking and anxiety-ridden because you have this life that you birthed. Like, it's just you made a person, and now this person has to survive, and it's up to you, up until they are a certain age where they can take care of themselves, to assure their survival. So it's like, you know, every time my son sniffles or slightly coughs, I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. What does he have? Like you just beat yourself up. When I found out my son wasn't gaining any weight, and or he wasn't gaining weight the way they wanted him to, I broke down in the doctor's office. I just started bawling because I was killing myself trying to breastfeed. I was in pain constantly, and I was like, just what am I? I'm trying to heal my body. I'm trying to heal everything, and I didn't have postpartum, but I did have the baby blues, which is like sort of postpartum light. It's like, you know, I was, thankfully, my wonderful manager had gifted me a postpartum doula. Aww. And I got to talk to her about everything I was feeling. And I'm telling you, if you can throw down some money for it and you're a new mom, like, that was a world of help. Just having somebody to walk me through the hardest parts, you know, of...
Oh, that's a person.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a hookah. I was thinking like something to comfort you and get you through the times. That's what I was picturing. But a person, that's wonder. That's just as
good. Please, somebody make a strain of weed called Doula. I will love you forever if you make a postpartum Doula weed strain, because that is the first thing that popped up into my mind after what you just said. I'm like, oh, yes. That would be great if there was a postpartum Doula weed strain that I could just roll up and be like, oh, this is amazing. I'm a dope mom. What was I thinking?
We've got all
changed the world with that. We've changed the world with that.
Yeah. Siege thought you said a hookah. He didn't know what
a doula. No, I heard her say doula, but I was just picturing like, oh, yeah, that sounds rad. Like, can I smoke it too? But no, there's a person. She sounds wonderful. They sound wonderful to me.
Yes, doulas are wonderful and are very helpful. They are non-smokable, though. You cannot smoke a doula.
You can smoke with a doula.
You can smoke with a doula. You can smoke a doobie, but you cannot smoke a doula until creates doula weed. So
this is a good lesson for those people out there. So I'm glad we're doing this. I like when we bring education to the people. That's why I'm here.
It's funny because my husband did not know what a doula was either when I said a doula. And he was like, wait, what's a doula? And I was like, the non-homeschooled version of a midwife. Essentially, like, I know, because his mother had all of her babies at home. She had all four kids at home. And I'm like, okay, gangster, not my life. I want all the drugs.
Yeah.
I would like all of the drugs, please.
All of the science. All of the science that we have in the 21st
century.
Every
monitor, my delivery was terrible. I had a terrible doctor for my delivery, unfortunately, so it was very traumatic. But... I wanted to be in the hospital. I asked for an epidural. I took an edible. I was not playing. I was like, hello, I am giving birth. I want all of the drugs. If it would have been possible and safe for me to take some Molly, I would have threw her in there too. I'd have been like, okay, I need to be relaxed because this baby has to come out of me, and that is frightening.
A person's clawing his way out of you. You got to be on as much stuff as you can get. That's what I would think.
I'm so sorry it was traumatic.
Yeah, he was a douche. I hope he gets fired. Universe, are you listening? Just because no woman should go through that. Like, no woman should. Giving birth is hard enough. When you have a douchebag doctor or somebody who doesn't listen to you or medical staff that doesn't. And look, don't get me wrong. I highly respect people in the medical profession. I do. In the medical field, y'all, especially over this COVID thing, y'all, God bless you all. But there's a couple bad apples that need to lose their position because, you know, being somebody who was petrified of giving birth in the first place, all my fears came true. And that was the most disturbing thing, was that literally all my fears came true, and that that moment was forever ruined. Like, the birth of my son is now an unpleasant memory as opposed to a pleasant memory. The moments after and the moments before, amazing. But
can you give me an example of something he did that was just awful?
I mean, I don't mind going down the list of things he did. I've talked about it openly before because I do feel like the more that women talk about this, the more women could come forward and feel comfortable saying, oh yeah, like I was traumatized. Because what happens is they make you feel like you're a crazy person. Like they make you feel like you're hysterical and you're like, well, yeah, there's a person coming out of me. I don't know if you understand what's going on right now, but my body is ejecting a human being from a not ideal place. Yeah.
It's like a watermelon. I remember being in the hospital looking and being like, oh, this now has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
This. Like that's why I could not, like the edible and Molly would make me, I would bug the fuck out. Cause I remember.
Oh no. I took the edible before I went to the hospital and I was Gucci. I was happy. I was like, let's have this baby. Let's do this. And then when the, cause I have a pretty high pain tolerance, but like, because they were looking at my chart thing on the computer and they were like, are you feeling that? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty unpleasant. So I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I'm not screaming and doubled over, but it's not my favorite moment right now. This is what we're going through. So I'll tell you like one of the things was like one of the big things was he would not let me breathe while I was pushing. He kept telling me to hold my breath. And I was like, that's the exact opposite of what everybody told me. And he didn't care. When I told him I had a birth plan, he said, we'll give you a birth plan. And at one point, he was, this is TMI for everybody, but he was all up inside and he was grabbing the baby and I felt it and I screamed and I said, you're hurting me. I said, please stop. You're hurting me. And he said, stop screaming. And that's all he ever said when I screamed out in pain was he said, stop screaming. Like, it legit felt like I was being sexually assaulted. Like, it was like one of those, I was so shaken to the core that when they handed me my son, and I can only imagine energy-wise, like, understand, my son was still connected to me through all of that. The panic he was feeling because of what I was feeling, because when they put him on my chest, we were both hyperventilating. We were both just like, and like just both panicked. And I was holding him and crying. And then like, I was trying to calm myself down. And the nurse, when the doctor left the room, the nurse said to me, me and my husband, she said, I just want you to know, I'm going to report that doctor because everything he did was unprofessional. And I was unbelievable the way you were treated. And I started crying because I thought I was crazy. I was like, am I a crazy person? Am I being hysterical? You know, my epidural had fallen out. No replacement was, the doctor was just like, all right, well, let's go. So I did it with no anesthesia. Then I tore a little bit. So he tried to sew me up without any anesthesia again. I screamed in pain. He gave me like some sort of topical thing and didn't even wait for it to take. He just kept sewing. Like, he just wanted to get out of there.
Monster.
He was terrible. And then came into the hospital later, and I wish I would have had the foresight to just the second he walked in, just be like, get the fuck out. Like, I really should have been like, get out of my room. I do not want to see you. I do not want to talk to you. I do not want your bullshit apology. Get out of my room. And because he came in, and essentially what his apology was he literally said these words, I'm sorry I wasn't soft enough with you. Was his apology. And I looked at him and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, are you kidding me right now? And I just like, I looked at my husband and you know, my husband's trying to keep his composure because he's like, am I going to have to knock out a doctor? Like, he's furious. Right, and I'm just like, we're both trying to control ourselves because, you know, well, first of all, my husband's a Sagittarius and they're like Hulk smash about their anger just like Aries are. And so like, we were both about to Hulk smash that whole hospital, but I was like, I'm pretty much paralyzed from the legs down. I cannot feel anything right now. So this area is not moving very well. So you're going to be on your own. If you start this, you're going to be on your own because I can't really get up and move. every moment after the birth, after the delivery with my son was amazing. Like, I look back at the pictures from the hospital and I was in love instantly. Like, it's crazy how much you can love a child. It's insane. Like, I've never felt that amount of love in my life. Like, you look at this thing and you're like, oh my goodness, I would die for you and I would kill for you.
And look, I know one thing, that if you fight a doctor, you're always guilty. It's terrible. You can't just fight a doctor.
You can't. You cannot. Or you cannot. Lose. And you can't just, like, at first I was really, like, trying to be, like, you know, do I ruin someone's career? Because I spoke to a lawyer. I spoke to my lawyer. I was like, do I ruin somebody's career? Do I destroy, you know, the life, the livelihood that he's had, you know, over this? Does it, will it make it better? Like, what, will it actually make it better? Or am I just looking to get revenge on a person who really, in the grand scheme of things, is inconsequential to this story? My son is healthy and he has a mother that loves him. So what do I gain from this situation? You know what I mean? I paid for trauma counseling. I went to a trauma counselor afterwards. I'm like, the most I could sue him for is probably the money for trauma counseling. But my biggest fear is, like, this guy's going to do this again to another woman. And that just infuriates me so much. Like, it makes me want to become a doula and just stalk that doctor. Just, like, try to get all his patients to want to be my clients just so one day I'm in the same room with him.
After this is done recording.
You just start a whole new profession just so you can stalk that doctor down. I love that. I love that. It's like the long game. It's the long game. Really putting in the work.
After we're done.
Get in there. It's, yeah.
I'm going to send some of my laser beams to the doctor. My spiritual beam.
You send those spiritual laser beams, girl.
Because that's not... Giving birth should be so much kinder. Mm-hmm. And you know, he used the word soft in a very abusive way, as if he wasn't being... Yeah, he was being abusive, so that statement is not okay. But I think the more people share their stories, and if I ever have another one, I still want to go to the hospital. I want to be where there are monitors. I want to be where I can get an epidural. So you shouldn't have to choose a home birth to escape, though, that kind of horror. So there just needs to be, like, a merging and a discussing of how homeopathic births can meet hospital births and just what's acceptable and what's not. Because even just going to the OBGYN, when you have a doctor who's too forceful, even in, like, a normal checkup, it's like, no, this is a vagina. Like, they're sensitive and you fuck something up. Like, be cool.
And they're like, hey, I know vaginas. I studied them for 12 years. Shut your mouth. Right? I mean, that can happen, right?
No, I did have a GYN. I had a GYN who was, like, super rude, like, before, and I switched before I had gotten pregnant, but, like, I had asked him, I said, you know, if I decided to, like, have a baby, I was like, is everything healthy? Like, is my system healthy? Because I was told at, like, 18 years old that I couldn't have a baby. So I was like, you know, as I got older, I just, you know, questioned it, like, to the GYN, and he was like, yeah, but you should probably lose weight first. And I was like, okay, no. He was asking that. Thank you for your dumbass opinion. Appreciate the rudeness.
You were asking was if you could actually produce a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave you that little bit of advice on the side. Damn.
And I was like, really, bro? Like, first of all, I know. And second of all, not what I asked you. You know what I mean? It was like, what I asked. Not ask for your opinion. And there were, like, other reports on him. Like, I looked him up after that incident. I had looked him up, and there were so many negative reviews of him for saying stuff like that or inquiring a woman who had, like, I think she had just had a baby or something like that, whether or not her husband was interested in sexual intercourse with her because she had gained weight. Like, it's just, like, yo, the audacity of some of these, like, GYNs and doc, it's just like, you know what I feel like? I feel like those people, I used to say this, I had a bit about this in my act a while back where it was like, those are people who have never been punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You've never been punched in the face because you think it's okay to talk to people like this. So when somebody hauls off and punches you in the face, when they punctuate one of your sentences with a fist, that's going to end that stupid attitude. Like, you just need a good face punching. That's all. And you'll be a brand new human being.
Oh, people don't turn into real adults until they've had their first face punch. Mm-hmm. They don't really know the rules yet. And then they're like, holy shit.
In the face thrice. And you learn when to shut the fuck up. You really learn when to shut the fuck up. You know, I will say that I think the first, what was it? One was an accident because I was sparring in class and this dude like hit me a little too hard, like right square in the face, like to the point where my coach came over and was like, "What are you doing? She's a girl." And it's, you know, all my feminism rose up in me. I was like, "Yeah, I'm a girl, man. I'm a girl." This shit hurt, man. And then the son before that was like, you go when I was younger. My sister got in a fight at school, my twin sister, and they told me that she was fighting in like one of the classrooms. And so I ran and got to the classroom just in time to see this guy lunge at my sister. So I jump on him like a crazy person, and I'm like, and just punching the crap out of him. He punches me, but I had braces at the time. So as soon as he hit me, he split my lip. So that was the first time I was punched. Then the sparring thing, and then I got mugged, and the guy hit me in the face. Like, he punched me in the face. Yeah.
What was he trying to get? What was the mugger like?
He was trying to get my... He had grabbed my wallet, and I'm ignorant, and I didn't see a weapon, so I was like, oh, we fighting. So,
yes.
I was like, you don't have a weapon, sir, and you weren't trying to take my last $10 in my Metro card? I think not.
Yes.
We got into, like, a physical thing, and then he hit me. And had I been trained a little bit more, because this was before I had started training, if I had actually been trained a little bit more, I think I could have taken him, because like we were like wrestling for a little bit, and I was like, yo, I'm dumb strong. I'm crazy strong. This is ridiculous. But then he just got tired of wrestling with me, and he like pimp slapped the shit out of me, and I just like, I flew into a wall. Like, he legit like smacked me and like threw me into the wall, and I hit the wall, and it was like, you know how when a bug hits a windshield, I hit the wall, I was like, pew! I just, like, fell to the floor, and I was like, oh. Like, I wasn't unconscious, I wasn't exactly conscious either. And then, like, people, it was in Manhattan, it was, like, broad daylight, so it was, like, people, a crowd quickly formed. Somebody handed me, like, a drink from Starbucks. It was before COVID, so I was like...
Yo, I'm sorry I laughed at that story, but no, the way you tell it, dude, I have to. It's fucking hilarious.
No, it's hilarious.
Like, your horrible, traumatizing mugging story is fucking hilarious the way you tell it. But I'm not a bad person.
I wrote jokes about that incident in the back of a police car. Like, when they picked me up, I was like, hold on, I gotta write this down real quick. I was like, everything in life is, I don't know, I've always dealt with things in life with humor. So to me, it's just natural to be like, oh, is this tragic? Let's find the funny in this. Like, it's how I've processed things since I was younger, how I processed heartache, how I processed like loss was always like, and my family was always with it. Like, my family was always full of people that like, we handled things with humor. And so anytime I go through something, like, I would love to write about the delivery. If I can find something that I, you know, I've written a couple things about it, just haven't done it because, you know, pandemic. But I would love to talk about that because I feel like it's something that a lot of women can relate to. And a lot of women would be like, oh, I need to breathe this out. And like, me getting to laugh about it, you know, will help the situation. So please laugh away at my mugging story because
first
of all, I'm hilarious. Second of all, it's a funny situation.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was feeling like a horrible person. Like, are people gonna hear me laughing my ass off about this lady getting jacked the fuck up?
You're like, haha, you got punched.
yeah. So no, I'm glad. Good. I'm glad everybody heard it that way, I guess.
So before we wrap up, I feel like we have to address real quickly, at least, the whole protesters bum rushing the Capitol building. You know, Trump kind of telling people to protest. He did say peacefully. they got into the Capitol building. I accidentally stumbled on a YouTube news thing where it showed footage of her like bleeding out of her neck. So she like jumped into the Capitol building and a police officer shot her in the neck. But like, I saw that footage and that fucked me up.
You know what I saw? It's so funny that you mentioned that particular clip because I saw a TikTok video of a guy going, like, literally just being like, I don't give a fuck that they shot that lady in the neck. She was storming the Capitol building, and these were the reasons why. And then he goes over the list of people that died that are part of the Black Lives Matter movement, and he's like, you didn't give a shit about any of these people's death, but somebody who's committing treason gets shot in the neck. And you're like, oh, that poor person. Like, the whole video was about how he didn't feel sorry for her at all. And I was just, like, jaw hitting the floor. Like, I mean, society, thank you. This is very entertaining. But what in the holy F is going on? Like, I mean, the Lord's going to flood us again. Y'all keep fucking around. The Lord is going to flood us again and start. Mm. He said he would never do it or never flood again. He's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to flood again. Let's just flood again right now. Two of everything except millennials. Two of everything. No. I'm just kidding, millennials. You got to be there because you got to build the ark. You got to build the eco-friendly ark. You do.
Oh, yeah.
We need you there. And we need you there to rebuild society because we need to learn some new rules.
Would it just be two people?
Just two people. Just like Adam and Eve.
Would we have to have two people from every race?
We would have to because otherwise
it's too similar. We have just two really mixed people. two people that are like extremely mixed.
No, because we have to do two from every race because otherwise it's like Adam and Eve. Like when you look at the lineage from the Bible, like don't get me wrong, my Christian friends, you know, I'm a person of faith, but that lineage, you got to admit, if Adam and Eve were the only people on earth and they made the people, that's a heck of a lot of incest. Like you just got to really look at like how were they making babies? How were they making babies? So I feel like
they made black people and Indians and Chinese. They made it all.
But that was the thing. Like, if you look back, it's like, yeah, the Ark probably could have used one from every race. So this time around, two from every race. You need a man and woman from every race. And that's it. To keep them on.
Look, I could be the man. I have, like, every kind of white person in me. So if we get a lady with all the other stuff, boom.
Well, I would hope. I was hoping.
You're too white. I would want it to be you, but you're too white, and we can't do that. I have all the white stuff in me already, so it would have to be somebody. Listen, Kate, I'm talking. We're talking end of the world type shit here.
You're one of the white Christian assholes who came here on a boat. Okay, I'm just a Jew. I'm a Jew who escaped Nazi Germany. You know, I'm Russian, German, Jewish. So, sorry, boo, that's me. And if you don't want to be the dude then you get a fuck off my Noah Ark.
There's only two people, Kate. Only two people.
No.
And if I'm one of them, the other person has to have...
Stop the flooding. She gets to be on it. I get to be on it. Her and I will both decide if you get to be the
one. Yeah.
Damn.
Kate, I will be your alibi when you stab this man. I will be your agent. Call me and tell me when you're fixing to stab this man, and I will tell them you're with me.
Oh, we was chilling all night. We was at Chippendales.
Yeah, definitely crazy times. Definitely crazy times over there.
No, but if you guys are making the decisions about who goes on the ark, you got to build the fucking ark.
Nah, see, that's where you other people build the ark. Like when you're a manager at a store, who stocks the shelves, bro? Not the manager. No.
The people who build it still get to go on it?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if there is room.
That's the point. There isn't room. The people that go on the ark are the ones who are going to build it. The other people be like, fuck you, dude. I'm not helping with your ark. You're about to abandon us.
Let's all agree. There's no flood coming. We don't have to go that my dude quickly threw me overboard, though, after all I've done for him. He's so quick.
Out of fairness to diversity, Kate.
Suck a dick, CG. Okay.
Damn.
Do you like to add any thoughts to the protesters at the Capitol building stuff, Siege, before I wrap up? You have any thoughts?
No, I can't do politics. I can't do politics. If somebody's doing something naughty, I feel like if somebody's doing something naughty and then they get fucked up, like, you were doing something naughty, like, you gotta know that a little bit, too. I mean, not to, you know, you don't want to get fucked up to a certain degree, but like, you got to not do naughty stuff, folks. That's all.
Naughty. So, yes.
It's adorable.
Don't do naughty stuff like.
Yeah, don't do naughty stuff, folks, and we're going to be all good.
The Capitol building while they're doing the electoral vote stuff. Don't.
That's my message.
That's naughty.
Stop doing all that naughty stuff, America.
Yeah.
I think just take all the people that are storming the Capitol building and doing the rest of this dumb shit and give them their own planet. Just give them their own planet. Put them on a planet and be like, you don't like shit here? Well, fucking go to Pluto then. Go to Pluto and you build a house and you can run shit on Pluto however you want. Just take it over there. I don't see a problem with that. Like, look.
I see a slight problem because Pluto's air, you know, gas quality would probably kill them instantaneously. So we're really talking.
Why do you think they should go to Pluto?
talking about like a Pluto Holocaust for certain people is really. Let's just be honest. Gina sent you to Pluto to get holocausted, kind of. And I know that's not and I'm allowed to say holocausted because I'm Jewish.
Yeah, that is true. I can't say that.
You get to coin that phrase.
Woman on the ark.
I feel like, yeah, all right, you win.
Okay.
You won this one.
We're going to wrap this up. Gina, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at gbrione or TikTok, where I'm having a lot of fun at gbrione80. Everything else is Gina Brione, the website, Facebook, everything. Check out The Floor is Lava on Amazon Prime. I also have stuff on HBO, and my first special ever is on Amazon Prime called Pacifically Speaking. I can't believe I messed up my own special name. Pacifically Speaking, you can check out on Amazon Prime as well. And just thank you so much for having me. Check out my podcast. It's Mess in Progress. Hopefully I can convince Kate to come and join me so I can harass her on my podcast.
Well, the answer's already yes. So if you want me on there, I'll be on there. Yes. And then Siege, where can they find you? Because now you do have something you can say. If you want.
Guess who has a Facebook page? CG Erickson. Come friend me. It'll be awesome. Thanks, folks. Gina, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. You're fucking hilarious.
And if you're going to add CG on Facebook, you know, he added someone who was actually a hooker, Gina. Like she literally, you clicked on it and she was like, I'm a hooker. And I genuinely don't want to be overbearing, but I called him and I was like, hey, honey, if you could not be friends with hookers, like, have a lot of hard limits, but that's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For profile, I'm just saying. Just tits, by the way. Just tits.
Oh, like, you sure. Don't say. So you don't say.
Yeah.
Siege.
I'm just a friendly guy, and when I get a friend request, I'm like, hey, I'm not judging.
That's what hoes say. That's what hoes say. Hoes say, I'm just real friendly. Don't be a hoe. Don't be a hoe right now.
Don't be a hoe.
I mean, it's your right to be a hoe, but don't be a hoe. If you love your life, don't be a hoe.
Hoes don't get really good pussy and dick.
Hey,
the donks are too busy hoeing, so their dicks and their pussies get nasty, you know.
Oh, wow, this took a turn.
Don't be a hoe. And where can people find me? Well, I love how I just said hoe, and now I want to be like, if you'd like a healing, healing, Kate Wolf 27 at gmail.com, Twitter at the Kate Wolf. I just started my TikTok life, so I'll have to find you on there, Kate Fanchon Wolf. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.
Thanks, y'all. Bye-bye.